Borjovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Before I tell you what I think about this whole Machado disaster, I got a cool little thing here on my. Did you see this, Robbie? I got a Sweet James beer koozie. But don't worry, I'm not drinking beer, so I have I put it on a water bottle here because wanted to put it to good use. But look at that, we got some swag. Oh, listen, the only reason we're talking about the debate, what is it, 3 days after it happened, is because it's a total distraction. It's a total nonsense, no news story. And the only person really prolonging it is Trump himself, and the media is complicit in it because, you know, well, they're enjoying this profusely. They don't want to talk about, as soon as you hear the state-run media tell you they want to talk about the issues, you know that the exact opposite is true. They don't want to talk about the issues. They don't want to get anywhere near the issues. Because the best part of the debate, if you'll recall, everybody now agrees that the first 30 minutes, you know, well, Trump did so well in the first 30. Yeah, he talked about the issues. So, now what? Who is this lady? All right, so she was an obscure nobody. And so when you have a major candidate, when you've got Trump talking about an obscure nobody, it's a problem. Who is she? What are we talking about? Okay, Alicia Machado. And apparently, this is all the way back in 1996. What were you doing in 1996? Well, if you're Alicia, you were competing in the Miss Universe pageant. Now, I'm not a pageant expert, mind you. I've had to study up on it a little bit, but from the little that I've been able to glean, apparently the whole purpose of the pageant is you get up there, you put on a bathing suit, and you have to look good. Is there anything more to it, or do we know if this pageant actually requires some kind of knowledge? You know, when they get up there and they describe to the world about their vast geography knowledge or whatever. There's no, it's just a look good thing. So for as best as I can tell, this is a women who sign up to voluntarily be judged subjectively on their looks. Okay, so she didn't just compete. She won, which, you know, until this week was her life's crowning achievement. Yeah, and she won, incidentally, if we want to talk, she won, she was 118 pounds, and she later ballooned to be 170, and I'm only bringing this up because it's a term of her contract. She's got a contract, and it's no different to, I can draw on a lot of examples that aren't sexist, okay? Tom Cruise. Okay, I'm pretty dang sure that if he signs up to film a movie, like one where he's supposed to look good with rock hard abs and all that nonsense, and he were to turn into a marshmallow, it'd be a problem. So at any rate, all right. So what do we got? This is what happened. The whole thing is entertainment. That's another thing. So you're hearing on the media about how Trump is fat shaming her and this and that. And it's people are tuning into this insipid, stupid entertainment. I'm sorry, if you like pageants, I don't mean to offend you. It's not my thing. And I think a lot of people, they don't care about these pageants either. So nevertheless, it's a thing for some people, and it's entertainment. So why in the heck would it was bad enough when Trump stepped into it in the debate? But why it's dragging on only because he's allowing it to drag on? And a case in point being, it was the other day on Bill O'Reilly, which ought to be a fairly friendly territory program for him. And O'Reilly wants to bait him into it and wants to get in and talk about the whole scandal. And what does Trump do? He says, no, I'm it's over. And then he just can't resist. And I think, you know, this, I hesitate. You've got to understand. And this is, don't, if you're despairing or if you're gleeful, you know, I know many of you are just excited. You finally, this is it. This is the moment. Trump is showing his true colors. He's, oh, good. We've derailed the Trump candidacy once and for all. But the problem is that this type of celebration has gone on before many times. So I think there have been a number of people who've counted him out. And he said a lot crazier and worse things in the past. There's two problems. One, we are getting close. We're getting down to the wire. And the other problem is that this kind of, and nobody's really saying this, but this controversial type approach to discussing these types of problems has always worked for Trump when it was a crowded field. You know, when there's, 100 people up on that stage and he's got to cut through the clutter, it's okay to attract a little bit of negative attention because it at least what? It gets you some attention. It gets you traction. So this Elisa Machado thing, the beauty contestant, former Miss Universe of 1996, is now the topic of conversation that has dominated the news cycle for a week, and that's why we have to talk about it. I got to address it. I wasn't here yesterday. We had the Kings. So now I'm behind the mic, and I've got to address it. And I have I'll tell you later here as I get through this, I want to explain why it's not going to be a good thing for Hillary if it continues. Because what Hillary does not want to have is any development of she doesn't want to further any kind of storyline dealing with, I'll tell you, with bimbo eruptions. Do you remember this term? So you've probably heard it in the media. People have been talking about it, and it's such a 1992 flashback, isn't it? Okay, so if you're a millennial, I've got people listening who, don't remember when Bill Clinton ran for president, but there was a point in time when Clinton was running. This is 1992. He's running and things are so bad. His whole campaign is about to go off the rails, all because a series of women had come forward to accuse him of some pretty significant issues, not just sexual harassment, but in the case of Juanita Broderick, even rape. And it was, this is an interesting bit of history. Clinton's top defender was none other than Hillary Rodham Clinton, his faithful, dutiful wife. And she was the one who coined the term as they were doing these strategy sessions with top level people. She coined the term bimbo eruptions. All right. So that's, if you've heard it in the news, that's where it's coming from. Now, why is this so? Number one issue is Trump shouldn't be stepping into this at all. And he took the bait. And you know it was a setup, by the way. You know it was a setup because the minute they dropped Elisa Machado, I mean, it wasn't Trump. I mean, the debate stage was still warm. And they were already airing an ad with her. So this thing was pre-planned. This was an ambush like none other that I've ever seen. And the way to combat this is not by trying to fight back and go after the credibility of Miss Piggy. You can't go after Miss Piggy's credibility here because she's just a non-issue. This is ridiculous. She's a non-issue. She's a third party. She has nothing to do with any of this. You got to leave her out of it. And the way they're attacking, of course, her credibility is, well, she's not a credible person. She's crazy. I mean, she threatened a Venezuelan judge? And it's even better than that, because it's not that she just threatened the judge on behalf of her boyfriend, but her boyfriend's accused of a murder, okay? And she's accused of being the getaway driver. That part of it isn't always being reported. But she's the one who's driving the car away from the murder that he's committed. So, and the part that just mystifies me is, you know, and this is maybe the real part of the story that nobody's talking about. How the heck does somebody who's been accused, I mean, this is a very serious thing, right? This is a very serious crime. And there's some other, she's had some other legal entanglements. Something happened in Mexico City. Anyway, so she was involved with a drug dealer. She was dated a very notorious drug smuggler. Was pursued by the Mexican authorities. So pray tell, this is just me being curious. How the heck does she become a U.S. citizen? And I'll tell you, so here, you know, we're talking about this Machado thing. And I'm going to tell you, I, in my opinion, I think that this setup was in the works for a while. I'm not sure they knew when they were going to drop it, but I guarantee you that they waited for her to become a citizen. I know that that's an important part of the narrative because, of course, Trump wants to not give anybody citizenship, build a giant wall and kick people out. That's at least the narrative, you know, that the left has propagated. So, what better idea? This is brilliant. Well, they've got all the levers of power. I mean, you know, Hillary was Secretary of State. You know, Obama, he's giving away the internet tomorrow. So, you know, I'm telling you, if there was a way to fast track somebody's citizenship, I guarantee you they can get it done. Absolutely. Or maybe, hey, you know what? Maybe it was just those. Remember when DHS, Department of Homeland Security, remember that 3 weeks ago when they found out that 750 people accidentally got citizenship when they shouldn't have? Maybe it was part of that. But the long and the short of it is, this was 100% a setup. And they recognized, they knew that Trump's fatal flaw, his Achilles heel, is if he's attacked, he's going to correct it, he's going to fight back. And you're asking how I'd handle it if it was in the debate. Okay, because there's two answers to this question. It's how do you handle it in the debate? And then how do you handle it afterwards? And in the debate, I honestly think you just say this, that's just so long ago. Let's talk about the issues and go right back to your talking points about the economy, about immigration, terror, the Iran deal, NAFTA. You go right back to the talking points. That's what you do. Now, Trump, Trump will have learned from this, and the second debate will prove lethal. And that's where pushing this Machado narrative by the Clinton people and their enablers in the state-run media is not going to help them. Okay? And the reason for that is because this story of Machado, okay, will come back. This now talking about sexism brings up uncomfortable topics of conversation for the Clinton camp. Yeah, well, and there are people, yes, there are people that are saying, no, Trump, don't go there. Don't go into the gutter. You know, well, right. I mean, they get it. Yeah, they don't go into the gutter. Don't pursue the Lewinsky thing. Don't pursue. And I actually don't think that the Lewinsky thing's the most damaging scandal. The only thing the Lewinsky scandal does, and when you look at all the different accusations, the ones that haven't been proven, you're relying on Bill Clinton's denial, right? Ultimately, you know, when you're talking about Juanita Broderick, and she's the gal in Arkansas, and we'll talk a little bit about her next segment, but she's a lady in Arkansas, she has a meeting with Bill Clinton, she's eager to get a political favor. And she claims that he brings her up to the hotel room and rapes her. It's a very serious allegation, and she's been very consistent about it. However, it's never been proven. There are no corroborating witnesses, that type of thing. So you're relying, that's an example where we're relying on Bill Clinton's credibility to accept that denial. And the Lewinsky scandal, among others, But the Lewinsky scandal is one we all vividly remember, where he promised and swore that it did not happen. And you bet your bottom dollar, voila, presto, Linda Tripp brings in a dress. And what do you know? The president's DNA is all over it. So let's peel. I want to peel back the onion a little bit here. I know it might make us cry. Yeah, but we got to peel back the layers. I want to take it back into the history and explain why it's going to be a problem for Hillary if she persists in pushing Donald into this, you know, into this sexist box that he doesn't really, in all fairness, he doesn't belong to, into. All right. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Country great again.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
What do you do when your kid comes back from college and says, "Dad, you know, racism is everywhere. I just learned it in class." You smack him. That's what you do. You smack him. You smack him senseless. But can you get away with it?
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, and we're talking about something that ought not be a story at all. It's just such nonsense, and this is the Alicia Machado stuff. But I said that we'd kind of peel back the layers here, and I'm telling you, even though Hillary Clinton laid a trap for Trump, there's a risk. There's a terrible risk that this backfires. I'm going to explain why. If you remember the Clinton presidency, then you also potentially remember the race for the White House, and you know that before there was a Monica Lewinsky, there were other women. Okay, there were other, and most alarming of them all were accusations leveled by a lady named Juanita Broderick. Now, Broderick met Bill Clinton in a hotel room. She was at a conference. She was a nurse. She was lobbying for nursing home operators. He was, I believe, the attorney general at the time, and was running for governor. And so, obviously, he's an important guy. She needs to talk to him. And he raped her. That's what she claims. And now, of course, that story came out during the race. Also, Jennifer Flowers, if you remember her, Paula Jones, Jennifer Flowers ended up suing a sitting president. And in the deposit in that lawsuit, if you'll just reminding you a little bit of history here, in the lawsuit that Jennifer Flowers brought, it came out she had to admit. Bill Clinton admitted that he'd had an affair with Paula Jones, which he had denied throughout the race. Credibility. This is an issue of credibility, right? So there's a habit of denying these things having happened, and then, voila, turns out they really did. Now, in all of this, Trump says, look, you keep firing, calling me a sexist, because this is really what the issue is. Let me be clear. I care a lot more. I care a lot more, just objectively speaking, about if one candidate, Hillary, has actively worked to silence legitimate victims of sexual abuse, victims of her husband, right? I care about those actions far more than Donald Trump, as part of owning a pageant, telling some lady she needs to lose some weight, who, by the way, put herself in that position and made her body an at issue, right? She voluntarily went into this pageant. She competed on the basis of her looks. She put herself in that position. Juanita Broderick didn't ask, you know, I mean, I don't even want to go there. It's that absurd. And so this whole narrative, right? And Hillary's been steadfast about this. She called these bimbo eruptions. She called it a vast right-wing conspiracy. You remember that? The vast right-wing conspiracy. I mean, that's the only explanation for it. It's not that Bill is a horn dog. It's just that, you know, okay. So now Trump is saying, look, you went low. I'm gonna go low too, which it may be not a good idea, but Chelsea Clinton responded. And this is hot off the presses. So Chelsea Clinton responds and says something to the effect of, she says Cosmopolitan magazine, I think, and says, I can't remember a time when my parents weren't being attacked. So kind of, bring it, but it's par for the course. And guess who responded to her? Yes. Juanita Broderick directly responded to her, and she sent a series of tweets. And she writes, here is my response to Chelsea Clinton's statement about her father's sexual misdeeds. Chelsea, you said you don't remember a time in your life that your parents weren't being attacked. There's a very good reason for this. And here's the zinger. There's a very good reason for this. Your parents are not good people. And then I'll tell you, so when we come back, I want to tell you what her next tweet is, right? Because her next tweet really could end up being, I don't think Hillary wants to open this can of worms. I don't think, and I say this can of worms being the continuing this sexist narrative, okay? Because I'm telling you, most people objectively believe that there's nothing more sexist than silencing, disparaging victims of sexual violence. Okay, so when we come back, I'll tell you all about what these things were that Juanita tweeted. Back after this, Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rachofsky. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Rachofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. You know, I'll tell you who was most disappointed that Trump didn't bring up Bill Clinton's peccadilloes during the debate. That would be Hofstra University. That's right. Now, I haven't seen this anywhere in the news. I had a friend of mine that was there, and he sent me a picture. I didn't get this. I didn't get this until yesterday. So you gotta forgive me that I didn't talk about it right away. But this is just terrific. The picture is of the entrance into the event, and there is a giant board. It's like a sandwich board, but not one that you'd wear. It's one that's on the ground, something bigger than you would have for a wet floor sign. No, it doesn't say Piso Mojado. Instead, it says trigger warning. Are you ready for this? Okay. Robbie, have you seen this anywhere? Yeah. Okay. So when you're walking into the debate, there's a sign, and it said, "Here's what Hofstra University put up. The event conducted just beyond this sign may contain triggering and or sensitive material," and then it switches to bold, sexual violence, sexual assault, and abuse are some of the topics mentioned within this event. If you feel triggered, please know there are resources to support you. I mean, folks, really? You're going to a presidential debate. I mean, if you're old enough to vote, you should be old enough to be able to survive a discussion of Bill Clinton's sex life. And if you can't, I mean, yeah, I don't, you, well, that's right. You better not be voting for Hillary because you're going to get a minimum of 4 years of stuff that's going to literally burn your ears off. Yeah, I don't, this is, there's so much wrapped up in this. But of course, but of course, what does it point to? It points to the fact that the university and everybody expected that Trump was going to lay these doozies on Hillary one by one. And that it failed to happen, I think, surprised even Hillary. I think she had the Machado thing ready to go, you know, because it was really the only thing that she could fire back at him. But the Machado thing is just an, it's, if you're just, look, if you haven't followed this, the Machado is the Alicia Machado, right? That's her name. The fat beauty contestant, AKA Miss Piggy. Well, it's not fair. Of course it's not fair, but she put her, she's in a beauty pageant. What do you want? So let's talk about where this will go if it continues. It's going to get heavy on the topic of Bill's past. And the most uncomfortable part here is going to be Juanita Broderick. And Juanita Broderick was a nursing home operator conference. She was a nurse, went to a nursing home operators conference, talking to Bill Clinton, who's attorney general. And what does she say? And Bill says, this is classic, by the way. Bill says to her, hey, it's kind of noisy here in the lobby. Why don't we go up to your room and talk where it's quiet? Well, one thing leads to another, and he ends up raping her and leaves, by the way, he leaves the room after biting her lip during the assault, puts on his sunglasses and kind of pointing to her bleeding lip, says, you better put some ice on that, then closes the door. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Bill Clinton, who might, you know, if everything goes well for Hillary, become the first dude. So here is what Juanita Broderick writes back to Chelsea Clinton when Chelsea's like, well, people are coming after my parents. Your father was, and probably still is, a sexual predator. Your mother has always lied and covered up for him. Your mother has always lied and covered up for him. And that, folks, is the root of what Hillary does not want to confront in the last 40 days of the election. I promise you. Okay, when we come back, let's see. We got it. I want to talk about how this all ties in with Cosby, because that's a connection there that no one's making. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And I want to
feel it too. This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
The first thing you do when you're on a long flight and you sit down and you see people with kids, if you don't have kids and you see people with kids, what do? You go, oh no! You just like lost the lottery, right? You drew the short straw. You're done, right? It's 10 hours of hell.
Talk Radio 790. KABC. There's
life in the ground. So apparently, Ron Jeremy has been out on the town. Well, the famous porn star, the now geriatric porn star, apparently is driving in Beverly Hills, and he hooks a left-hand turn, which was apparently okay, except for the fact that there was a pedestrian in the crosswalk who ended up on the hood of his car. Police came to the scene, but, you know, apparently everybody's okay. Well, the person's probably hurt. And I would tell you, the pedestrian, if they know what's up, is going to call Sweet James. That's right. You want to call attorney Sweet James Bergener. Well, you don't want to be calling Ron Jeremy, going over to his house, you know, and talking settlement. You don't. You know, let me tell you. You go to Ron Jeremy and say, show me the money. And there's no telling what you're going to get. Yeah, no. It's, That's just it. It doesn't matter if it's a porn star, if it's an insurance company. You want to keep it at an arm's length. You want to have somebody advocate for you. Yeah, that's just right. Doesn't matter if it's Ron Jeremy or the insurance company. Either way, you're guaranteed to get screwed. But not if you hire Sweet James. All right. James Bergner, he's the only attorney we trust here on the program, and there's a reason for that. He's trustworthy. He's absolutely the guy who will go for the jugular for you. He'll fight for you to the end and get you exactly what you deserve. Call him, not anybody else. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to his website, sweetjames.com. Okay, Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, and we are talking all about Hillary, the Alicia Machado Trump disaster that he stepped in. I mean, we should just stay the heck away from this, right? And it's such a non-issue. It happened so long ago. He said some things. I mean, he could have just dismissed it and said that was entertainment, which it is. And case closed. But he's keeping it in the news and he shouldn't do it. And I'm hoping, God, just anyway. But the potential here, the potential downside for Hillary is big. Because what Hillary doesn't want to confront is her role in covering up all of Bill Clinton's peccadillos. And by the way, calling him peccadillos is really a giant euphemism because what Bill Clinton is a serial sexual predator. I mean, look, yeah, you know, you can say consensual all you want, but, you know, you do the whole president of the United States with the 20-year-old intern. It's dirty. It ranges from criminal to dirty. And criminal, by the way, because this behavior goes way back. And we were talking about the tweets by Juanita Broderick, Bill Clinton's alleged rape victim, who must have woken up the other day incredulous that Chelsea Clinton is you know, complaining that she can't remember a time when she wasn't attacked, her parents weren't being attacked. My parents have been attacked as long as I can remember. Oh, boo hoo, you know. Anyway, so look. And immediately, almost immediately as that story comes out, Juanita Broderick fires back, you know, your father was and probably still is a sexual predator, and your mother has always lied and covered up for him. And this is just it. You know, Hillary has been Bill's enabler and attack dog from day one. You know, she called Jennifer Flowers some failed cabaret singer. Remember this? Who doesn't even have much of a resume to fall back on. That's Hillary. Told Esquire that if she could cross-examine Flowers, she would crucify her. Okay, and you know hired a top lawyer to fight lawsuits, and ended up calling the whole Monica Lewinsky thing a vast right-wing conspiracy. And the problem is, all these allegations, you know, turned out to be true. I mean, there was none that were disproven outright. And so the problem is. That these things just, if I were Hillary, I would want this topic to go away fast because it's not about what Bill did or didn't do. It's the role she played in covering it up. And I think, you know, when we're talking about this, I've always said that Hillary's campaign stuck in the 90s a little bit. And I'm telling you, the world today is very different than it was in the 1990s. And I think the best example of this is Bill Cosby. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you how the Cosby thing ties into this Hillary thing. And yeah, just stay tuned. We'll be right back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Hey,
Jofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, talking bimbo eruptions, Hillary Clinton, and some of Bill Clinton's unfortunate past, where Hillary was, well, she was his chief enforcer. She was a cleanup person, you know, and Bill was going from one affair, one sexual harassment, and even in one case, at least allegedly a rape, to another. And Hillary was the one really, I mean, she was behind the scenes running the operation that was smearing these women and casting them aside and that kind of thing. Now, I've said before, I think, you know, I look at the stilted way that Hillary is presenting herself in this campaign and her talking points. I mean, come on, the debate. I mean, we have to go back to that. I mean, this retread of leftist, you know, usual liberal nonsense BS about, you know, pay their rich, pay their fair share. It's like a broken record. And the way she's campaigning, even the way she's running her organization, is very reminiscent of how the Clintons operated in the 90s. Now, when it comes to these bimbo eruptions now and revisiting all this past and Hillary wanting to just dismiss it, it could backfire on her. And the reason is that 2016 is a different year. It's a different year because of someone we all know as Bill Cosby. Now, yeah, we could call this the tale of two Bills, because Bill Cosby's this lovable guy. Who didn't like Bill Cosby? I mean, gosh, this was a guy who kind of crossed racial barriers. He crossed age barriers. Old people liked him. Young people liked him. And then what happened? Well, turns out that he raped a bunch of women. And you know, I'll tell you that the real thing is 20 years ago, when these people came forward and came out of the, you know, and I'm going to say woodwork, but really came out and, you know, and said something to somebody, they were sort of dismissed, weren't they? You hear this. These gals were said, you know, look, you were just, I mean, come on. Like, he was famous. You were just trying to help your career. I mean, yeah. Because 20 years ago, we thought differently about rape. We thought differently about sexual assault. We did. And Cosby's spectacular fall from grace is an evidence of times are a-changing. And I see it especially with Camille, his long-suffering wife. Now, Camille Cosby, she's not a public person. I mean, we really didn't know she existed until all these rape accusations came out and all these women saying, yeah, Camille was in the house, for Pete's sake, she was in the house. You know, and she would just kind of like go to her room and, you know, Cosby would do his thing. And then, you know, Camille would show up the next morning and be like, hey, want a pancake? You know, people were just like, you know, it's like, she's this sort of character in the drama, but she's not a public person. And she's getting skewered by the media. Right? You look at all the news stories and Camille, the long-suffering, you know, shell. You know, blah, blah, blah. She's being accused of being basically an enabler of Cosby's. And maybe in some respects, fairly so. But I'll submit this to you. If she's getting skewered and pilloried, okay, in the press, whether it's fair or not, how is she different from Hillary? Now, Hillary, there's a very big difference. Hillary, ostensibly, was always attacking her and protecting her husband because there was something in it for her. It was her career, too. She always saw herself as being co-president with Bill Clinton, didn't she? She knew she'd have a career in politics after the White House. She had to protect the Clinton name. She had to protect the Clinton brand, and she was in it for herself. So the crucial difference, the fundamental difference, is that in all of this, Hillary is smearing legitimate victims, people that have now been confirmed to have been victimized by Bill Clinton. And she was doing it all along for very selfish reasons, for her own career reasons. And this, folks, when these dots begin to connect in people's minds, the same disgust that people feel on some level. For Cosby's wife, they're going to feel for Hillary. So she needs to get as far away from all the sexist rubbish as she possibly can, because she's the real serial offender in this department. Okay, we're not here tomorrow. Kings game. So we'll be back on Monday, 7 p.m. All right? See you then. Have a great weekend. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.